How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. It is WrestleMania Sunday here on the show, and I am live from the Fort Lauderdale Sheraton. I'm actually sitting here in the lobby right now. We've got Mike Sempervivi on the line, as we do every week. We're going to be previewing the big show of the year, WrestleMania, over the next hour. And, of course, at 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, the show kicks off on pay-per-view. It is headlined by The Rock versus John Cena. Mike and I are going to run down all of the results of all of the matches here on the show today. You can follow me on Twitter, hopefully, during the event. It's at Brian Alvarez. That's at Brian Alvarez. I've been tweeting all weekend from the various shows we've gone to. I went to the ROH shows. I went to the Dragon Gate USA show. I saw one of the best matches I've ever seen at the ROH show. The Michael Elgin match with Davey Richards for the title. It was awesome. We'll talk a little bit about that here on the show today, but mostly we're going to plug the full lineup of the pay-per-view. We're going to get Mike's thoughts on the show and talk about all of the fun stuff. And Mike, how you doing today?
No complaints, Ryan. I was forward to treating you weather-wise here because it looks like it could be pretty ominous for WWE.
Actually, the weather here is awesome.
Good.
Yes. During the ROH show yesterday, during the afternoon show, I had a buddy go outside, and it was absolutely pouring down rain. We had a tropical storm blow in. But people down here in Florida say, well, you know, those things happen. Don't worry about it. It'll clear up quickly. But so far, looking at the weather, it looks like no rain at all today. And this is just about an hour before the show. So it looks like everything's going to be good. I can't promise anything, but it's not looking too bad here for the show this evening.
Oh, good.
Well, we're gonna have to head to our first break here in just a moment. But when we come back, we're going to run down all of the matches on the show. I'll talk a little bit about the programs this weekend. If you tried to watch Ring of Honor and you couldn't watch it, especially the Saturday matinee show, it's probably up right now for download. I would get that show because the Davey Richards-Michael Elgin match is awesome. And as we preview the matches here today, we're going to try and find out if any of them have a possibility of being better than that match. And quite frankly, I don't think any of them do. But we'll find out. So anyway, we'll be back in just a moment. Everybody, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're running down the card for WrestleMania, the biggest WWE show of the year, actually the biggest wrestling show of the year. And quite frankly, by the time all is said and done, this will probably end up being the biggest money wrestling show of all time in the history of the world, anywhere. And of course, Rock and John Cena are the headline match. And Mike, I presume, I could be wrong, but I presume that you are going to be buying the show today.
I will be buying the show today. Just getting your money's worth. They jacked up the price, but it doesn't matter. It's going to do probably a million buys worldwide. And you know what? Even if it's not the most profitable one of all time, they're going to say it is.
Yeah, the WWE internally today is now predicting a million buys. Vince McMahon, of course, several months ago had predicted 1.3 million. And that seemed a little bit high to me. I was thinking about maybe 1.1 million, somewhere around there. And as of today, they're downplaying it, thinking, oh, it's only going to do a million. I actually think it's still going to do 1.1. I'm here, obviously, so it's a little bit different. I'm getting kind of a skewed, you know, kind of a skewed vision since there's wrestling fans just crawling everywhere around here. And it's been an awesome weekend. But I think it's going to do 1.1. I think there's a lot of interest in the show. I've heard from a lot of people. I have a buddy who's not really a wrestling fan, but he was on Facebook this morning, and he just sent me a text and just said, I hope you're having fun. Everywhere I look on Facebook, people are talking about WrestleMania. I think a lot of people are going to buy this show. I think it's going to be big. I don't think 1.3 million, but I think probably 1.1, and I think WWE is going to be very happy with it.
Oh, God, absolutely, and it's coming on a great day, too. The UFC hasn't been around on pay-per-view. There haven't been any boxing events. Falls right between the Final Four, which is taking place. So they've got a great time spot here, for this. And obviously the ratings have not been what they thought they were going to be with Rock coming back. But again, just as you said, with all the synergy they've done with running that Rock Cena special, which for somebody who hasn't been watching in a while, they probably did get, you know, a new appreciation for both of those guys and the work that they do. And if you're going to buy one all year, this is the one you're going to get. So, you know, obviously we got to watch for the WrestleMania malaise afterwards, which has taken place, you know, every year for the past couple of years. But with that said, you know, they've also been able to really amp up people who are, you know, internet, you know, fans and people who really follow wrestling closely by rumors of Batista being there, by rumors of Brock Lesnar being there, by all these people who have come down, Ric Flair at the Hall of Fame, and all that buzz and excitement that's been created. So it's one of those days that just, it really does work on everybody on every level.
Yeah, the main event of the show is The Rock and John Cena, and as you mentioned, there are a lot of rumors about various people in town. We actually heard last night that Brock Lesnar is in negotiations with WWE, and I don't know what the deal is right now. I do know that I heard from somebody in WWE yesterday that usually is right on the money about a lot of things, and he said he is 99% certain that Brock is signed. And what it's going to come down to is the kind of deal they can make him. He obviously wants some dates. He doesn't want a lot of dates. He doesn't want no dates. And obviously he wants a lot of money. And he has talked in the past about doing wrestling again, and Dana White has pretty much made it clear that Brock is not under contract. He can go to WWE if he wants to. And Rock did interviews talking about the possibility of doing a match with Brock Lesnar. So, you know, to me, this is a perfect opportunity to give a money finish to the Rock and John Cena match, because we're down here in Miami. It is the Rock's hometown, and the folks who were at the Hall of Fame last night, I guess the word was that they fully expect the reaction to maybe not be 95-5 in favor of Rock, but they're thinking at least 80-20 in favor of the Rock. And the entire time we've been talking about this match, I've been talking about how I don't know about the idea of Rock losing in Miami. I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know how you do it. But if you're going to beat the Rock, to me, if you have Brock Lesnar re-debut with WWE, and he runs in and he gives Rock the F5, and he lays him out, and John Cena gets the pin, maybe John Cena was down as well, you could even do a deal where Batista, if Batista ends up working the show, which is in question, Batista could spear John Cena, and then Brock could give Rock the F5, and you set up two feuds for down the road, or maybe even not Batista. You could use Lord Tensai to attack John Cena, because he was going to be feuding with him anyway. But the point is, if you have Brock Lesnar attack the Rock, I think that the people are going to be okay with The Rock losing, because they saw something that they were not expecting. They saw the debut of one of the biggest names, in fact, the biggest name outside of The Rock in sports entertainment based on the number of pay-per-views that this guy has sold over the last couple of years. I think that the Brock Lesnar Rock scenario is something that people would go for, and they wouldn't go nuts over John Cena winning as a result of that. What are your thoughts?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, Brock Lesnar, there's very few guys. There's like three you could do that with. Brock Lesnar is one of those guys where people would not revolt in the fact that it's going to be a all-Rock crowd. And to have a finish like that at the end of WrestleMania would be a risky thing anyway. But when you're using Brock Lesnar, you know, it's going to create the buzz you want. And obviously it's going to create sporting buzz as well with, you know, people wondering what's going on because they don't exactly know the Brock Lesnar contract situation with the UFC. So at least for, you know, overnight on SportsCenter and your places like that, they're going to be eating it up.
I think it'd be a perfect finish. I think that you could announce tomorrow on Raw that next year it's going to be The Rock versus Brock Lesnar. You do another one-year build. I know that WWE had a meeting yesterday, and there are changes to the WrestleMania card. I know that people are shocked to hear that. I don't know what the changes are, but I do know they made some changes yesterday. And based on the fact that yesterday was the day that we heard about Brock Lesnar, I would guess that he is going to be involved in some of those changes. Could be wrong. You know, they may not do anything. They may have him come back tomorrow. They may feel that word has gotten out, and so we can't do it. That has happened before. But this is WrestleMania. I think you stick with your plans. And we should also consider the possibility that Brock interferes in the Undertaker match. Although you would think if he was going to interfere in that match, he would cost Undertaker the match. And Undertaker is not losing today, everybody. He is not losing. So my guess would be that that's probably not going to be where it takes place. But we'll see. You know, there's a lot of different scenarios. There's a lot of different things. Whatever happens today, the idea is at the end of WrestleMania, they are either going to announce the main event for next year, meaning today's show they'll announce it, or they'll have a match that they'll be able to announce for Raw tomorrow as far as next year's WrestleMania main event. So if you had to guess, Mike, what would be your finish of Rock and John Cena, and what match would you announce next year?
You know what? I think I would have Cena win. Again, with interference, if you can actually pull that off with Lesnar, and then you set it up tomorrow night for next year.
So you set up Rock and the Rock and Brock Lesnar.
That would probably be either The Rock or John Cena. I don't even know if you'd have to do that, though, because, again, I still, for some reason, look at SummerSlam coming up in Hollywood, and you have an opportunity there, and Brock Lesnar's not going to work all that much, so I can see, I don't know, I can see something taking place, but I could also see it changing, you know, later on this year, too, with a combination of those three in next year's WrestleMania main event.
That is the main event of the show there, and what are you thinking in terms of crowd reactions? Because I'm thinking that this could be one of the craziest crowds I've ever been in my life.
Oh, it's going to be over the top. Especially, when it comes to Rock, it's really going to be over the top. I feel bad for the rapper that's coming out with John Cena. I know they were talking to him. He's all hyped up for it. It's the most people he's ever been in front of, and it's like he's going to go out there, do that song with Cena, and get absolutely massacred and ripped to shreds. So, it is going to be a raucous crowd. Again, it's not going to come across as well on TV because of the fact that, and I know they have sound, ways to bounce the sound and things like that, but, to be there like you are, it's going to just to be absolutely incredible, and hopefully that does really come across on TV because sometimes it gets lost.
Well, I will say that you mentioned having different ways to bounce the sound off and that sort of thing. The key, however, is that I was there last year, and they can bounce sound off all they want, but in an open-air building, it's a big building, it's open-air, the sound does not travel well. And so I mentioned this last week. I fully expect to be in the middle of a riotous crowd for the Rock-Cena match and perhaps go home tomorrow and have people say, how come the crowd sucked so bad? And have to explain to them that, I hate to use the term, but you kind of had to be there. Just like I kind of had to be there for the Undertaker versus Triple H match last year, which actually is the semi-main event on the show. It is a Hell in a Cell match. Shawn Michaels is the special guest referee. I would like to note for my own edification that last night at the Hall of Fame, Shawn Michaels did, in fact, mention the secret plan. So I guess we'll see if that comes into play here today. Obviously, the big questions for a lot of these matches really are, what is the finish going to be? Used to be who's going to win. Now it's what's the finish going to be? So when we come back from a break, we're going to talk about that match. We'll talk about what the finish might be for The Undertaker and Triple H coming up at WrestleMania this afternoon. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Just hold on.
We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here talking about the biggest show of the year, which takes place in, it's about an hour and a half now. Here at in Fort Lauderdale, I'm at the Sheraton. I am in the lobby right now. So if you're a lot of people walking around with bags and rollers, I apologize for that. But you do what you do. So we are here with Mike Sempervivi, and The Undertaker versus Triple H is the semi-main event of the show. It is a Hell in a Cell match, Shawn Michaels' special guest referee, and I think everybody knows the finish of the match in the sense that The Undertaker is going to win, but how do you set that up, Mike?
I would just actually go ahead and have him win clean. There's going to be some sort of, obviously, Shawn Michaels being involved. I would just love to see them have an epic match where it just happens, where we're waiting on something to happen with some sort of wackiness, but it just doesn't, and Shawn Michaels counts it out. That would be a best-case scenario for me. And then, really, you talked about Brock Lesnar, too. That's an easy way for The Undertaker to not be around. If Lesnar, lays him out tomorrow night on Raw, or after a long, incredible, grueling match with Triple H, that Brock Lesnar just doesn't destroy him or something, or hit him with the F5, which takes him out to next year. I can't believe they would do it at WrestleMania, but doing it on Raw or on SmackDown, that wouldn't surprise me if they did that, because, again, you have that excuse now to keep Undertaker out. But it's just, I can see a lot of blood. I can see, and again, it's surprising that you could talk about blood, but it just, I cannot fathom this match with these two guys after what they did last year, and The Undertaker for the last 3-4 years trying to figure out a way to top himself. And the way they're calling this the end, I cannot see there being anything other than some sort of blood in this match. But I don't know exactly what the plan could be, but I just don't think it's going to be something that's too over the top. It may be a missed you know, move or something, or Shawn Michaels gets in the way or misses something or something like that. But I cannot see them adding too much, you know, stupidity or a missed super kick or a super kick that knocks him into the tombstone. I just can't fathom that out of a match that these two are going to put on. So to me, I don't know what it's going to be, but the least amount, the better.
Yeah, I'm predicting blood. I would be stunned if there weren't blood in this match, but actually I shouldn't say I would be stunned, because obviously, you know, blood is banned, but this is The Undertaker, and this is Triple H, and they can do whatever they want, and my gut just says that it's Hell in a Cell, they know it, it's WrestleMania, it is a match that they're going to want to live forever, so you may as well bleed if it's going to add to the match, and they're not going to be fine, they're not going to be fired, you know, they may get chastised, they may have to issue an apology to sponsors, I don't know, but I think if they want blood, they're going to have blood in the match, and Shawn Michaels
is... call it the end of an era, you know, the last of an era, that was the last of the era that bled like that.
Mm-hmm. And as far as, like, Shawn Michaels, it's like, okay, he has to be involved somehow, but what is his involvement going to be? Because Undertaker is not losing the match, so he's not going to cost Undertaker the match. And he could cost Triple H the match. I know a lot of people have been talking about, you know, maybe next year at WrestleMania it's going to be Triple H versus Shawn Michaels, and, you know, a lot of people are speculating about that, but I don't know if that's what it's going to be. I don't know if Shawn's going to wrestle again. He has said that he doesn't want to tarnish that final match with The Undertaker. He doesn't want to do it again. But he's also said in matches that, you know, one of these days, my kids are going to be grown up. They're going to want to see Dad wrestle one more time. Right place, right time. Maybe I'll do it. You know, maybe he's thinking, okay, I'm getting old. I don't know how much longer I'd really be able to do this at the level I'd want to. So is Triple H. Maybe if we do one more match next year with a year build, it'll be one of the biggest Mania matches of all time. That's possible. I don't know if they're going to do it. But, I mean, if they're not going to do a match next year, then I don't know what the point is of having Shawn screw Triple H. It makes no sense. So it's either got to be, like, clean down the middle with no interference from Michaels, or, I don't know, maybe Michaels tries to screw The Undertaker, but he accidentally screws Triple H, and somehow you have that not lead to a match. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting deal. I mean, obviously, they're all very smart. I'm sure they figured something out. I'm sure they think they've got a great idea. And given the three guys, it's probably a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, again, the more minimal, the better. I really will be the better for the legacy of that match, plus just in the now of that match. But if I'm Shawn Michaels, I'm kind of waiting out on the Steve Austin sweepstakes. I mean, obviously they're going to be in New York next year. I mean, look, Dallas, I would see them being in Dallas the year after that, that Jerry Jones Stadium. That's epic. And to have, you know, The Undertaker, who knows where he'll be at that point, but if Steve Austin's going to come back for one, it's going to be with somebody he can actually trust and who can do, you know, where you get the most out of the least. And he could probably do that with The Undertaker there, but he can most certainly do that with Shawn Michaels. I would see that, figure that's a much, much bigger deal. And, you know, if Shawn Michaels is serious about he doesn't want to tarnish that last match with The Undertaker, no offense to Triple H at all, because they'll have a great match. They've had him in the past. But if you're going to come back and that's that important to you, how do you top it? The only way you could possibly top it is with Steve Austin in Texas in front of 100,000 people at WrestleMania.
Well, what's interesting is there has been talk, obviously, of Steve Austin and CM Punk, and Punk has challenged him on Twitter, and Austin has responded to him and everything like that, but next year isn't in Texas. That's why it's kind of interesting. I mean, next year is it's in New Jersey. It's in the New York market. So, you know, you wouldn't be doing a big Texas stadium with Steve Austin if he goes next year. So I don't know if you know, he's 48 years old right now. So if he's going to be waiting for Texas, he'd be waiting until he's at least 50. And who knows? I don't know where the wrestling business is going to be in 2 years. I presume it's going to be fine. But where's CM Punk going to be? Where is Steve Austin going to be physically? Is he going to want to take the risk of waiting 2 years? I mean, his neck is still in the same state it's always been in. It's not going to get any better. So I don't know. I mean, I think that obviously I was amazed that WrestleMania next year wasn't announced for Texas, because you know, obviously there were circumstances and that sort of thing, but I thought it was going to be there, and I thought we were going to see the return of Steve Austin. But now it's looking like if we do, it's going to be in the New Jersey market, which is it's interesting. I mean, obviously he's going to be over gigantic in New York, but it ain't Texas.
No, I mean, again, Punk Austin's great, but and obviously he would probably trust Punk, and Punk is great anyway. But you do have that thing with The Undertaker and Steve Austin and a couple guys, too, where it's like, you know, you got to be careful with the condition that these guys' bodies are in, because if you think about it, Brock Lesnar would be a great name to throw out against any of these guys. You had the thing that they were going to do with The Undertaker from, you know, when he lost the UFC title and things like that, but it's like, you know, Brock's not exactly a soft touch here, so, you know, we're not even talking about considering those matches. So, again, yeah, I mean, Shawn Michaels and Triple H in New York next year, if you have The Rock and John Cena again, or The Rock and Brock Lesnar, or however you do that combination, and you bring Steve Austin back too, that probably is good, and then you can do Austin and Punk, but I would still rather see Austin Michaels. Again, that's about the only thing that'll top Undertaker and Michaels.
What are you predicting as far as the Punk Jericho match here tonight for the WWE title?
I think, you know, I think Jericho wins. I was thinking that, you know, there was a thought in my mind that, yeah, obviously they love to embarrass guys. I know they're going to be in Raw, you know, in Chicago soon enough. But I can see, you know, Jericho actually winning this instead of Punk winning it and Jericho beating him later. Jericho wins this, Punk wins it back, and then possibly, I don't know, Punk and Christian later on down the line or something like that. But because I can see Sheamus winning, I see The Undertaker winning. You obviously have some of the Rock match. With all that stuff, I just think you're going to see the bad guys pull this one out and Jericho wins.
Yeah, I'm predicting Punk retains here. I just think you've got Daniel Bryan and Sheamus for the world title. You've got Cody Rhodes and the Big Show, which I think that pretty much the Big Show has to win unless he's turning heel. And then you've got the Punk Jericho match. So I don't think they're changing all the titles. So if you're not changing all the titles, I figure the one they're not going to be changing is the Punk one. You have Punk win here tonight. And then the rematch is in his hometown at Extreme Rules in Chicago. And he is due to be beaten in his hometown. You know, if you look back at the Money in the Bank match, he was scheduled to lose that match to John Cena, and it was a last minute decision to give him the win in the title. So, I think he's due. I think he wins tonight. He loses in Chicago, and it's obviously not going to be just like a one match feud. So, you know, Punk wins tonight. Jericho wins it at Extreme Rules, and the feud continues. And Punk wins it back later on before Jericho takes a hiatus, if that's what he's going to do. And you don't change all the titles here tonight.
See, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about the happy story dynamic because, you know, obviously they don't have to have Daniel Bryan drop the match to Sheamus, but I can see Sheamus winning that. And again, you talked about Big Show and Cody Rhodes. I don't know what the point is about embarrassing Big Show that much if he wasn't going to, you know, pull out a victory here. So unless Shaquille O'Neal runs in and screws Big Show, I can see Big Show winning that too, where, you know, you're going to need a feel-good story. And you know, that you got enough feel-good stories, a bad guy's going to have to win. And to me, that would make sense with Jericho.
To me, I think you just have to have Sheamus win tonight. I mean, as far as, like, for the sake of the Royal Rumble. You know, last year, Alberto Del Rio, he won the Rumble. He was supposed to win the title at WrestleMania, and they decided, since everybody knew, they were going to have Edge retain instead. And what a disaster that turned out to be with Edge's retirement. But regardless, you know, tonight, it's like, if you don't have Sheamus win tonight, I think you just kill the value of the Royal Rumble next year. Because Sheamus won, but they did nothing with him for an entire month, because the whole deal was he decided to wait until after Elimination Chamber to decide which title he was going to challenge for. So he just did absolutely nothing after the Rumble. And if you do nothing for a month after the Rumble, you beat a couple of guys on Raw leading up to Mania, and then you lose in your championship match at Mania, I think it just kills the Royal Rumble. So I think he has to win tonight.
I think it really hurts him, too. You know, they need stars. They need guys. And obviously, you know, he's always been, you know, one of the guys associated close to Triple H. So I just, again, he's went through his bad streak of post running away from Nexus and the King of the Ring debacle that you know, took place there and getting destroyed by Triple H before last year's Mania. You know, Sheamus winning this thing is what they need anyway. No offense to Daniel Bryan or anything like that, but unless it's a banana peel type thing where Sheamus is going to get the belt at the next pay-per-view or something like that, because, look, to see them continue to feud would not hurt my feelings at all, because Daniel Bryan's been very good, and I do like, you know, Sheamus's upside. But with that said, I think for tonight and for Sheamus himself, he should win this.
All right, 10 seconds. Of those two matches, Punk and Jericho and Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, which match is going to be better?
Punk Jericho. That's going to try to steal WrestleMania as far as the pro-wrest style goes.
All right, everybody, we're getting back in just a moment. We're halfway through the card. We're going to cover the other half when we get back. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here live. I am in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the Sheraton down here in the lobby. We are getting ready for WrestleMania in Miami, which is coming up this evening. Of course, it's a four-hour show. It's starting early, 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern on pay-per-view. So make sure you check that out. It is the absolute biggest wrestling show, not only of this year, but it is going to end up, when all is said and done, to be the biggest money wrestling event in the history of quite possibly the universe. That's coming up here tonight. We've gone over half of the card for the show doing predictions. Don't forget, there's going to be a special match at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, actually probably about 6:45. It is Primo and Epico against Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd against the Usos for the tag titles in a three-way. And Mike, if you had to pick, is there going to be a title change here in this match?
Who's got the belts now? I forgot.
Primo and Epico are the champions.
Oh, good. They're still the champions. You know what? I actually see them winning.
How about that?
They're
all
in
right,
Florida, spark the crowd. I can see them winning the Usos. I mean, actually, you know what? Then again, with Yokozuna going to the Hall of Fame, Rikishi being there, maybe the Usos can win, Rikishi can come out, and everybody can dance.
That's right. Everybody can dance. I didn't go to the Hall of Fame last night, everybody, but I went to the two ROH shows. I went to the Saturday Night Dragon Gate show. The two ROH shows, wrestling-wise, the first night was a very good show. Second night, the Saturday afternoon show, wasn't quite as good, but the main event was, like, an all-time great match. It was so awesome. The Go Fight Live feed was apparently horrendous. Fans at home, the first show was, like, a complete disaster. The video and the audio were not in sync. So people very upset about that, and there were a lot of problems on the second day as well. No problems with the feed for the Dragon Gate show. Got a lot of mixed reviews for the first night. I guess a lot of people that sampled it for $1.99 thought that it was not the best show to give to first-time viewers. They kind of didn't know what was going on. They didn't seem to understand who everybody was. They felt that it's kind of like, I guess Dave said he got a piece of feedback that said a niche of a niche of a niche was the feedback. But I talked to other people as well that were big Dragon Gate fans, and they said that the Friday night show was one of the best shows they'd ever seen. So pretty much depends on what you were looking for that night. And the Saturday night Dragon Gate show was a very good show as well. I really enjoyed that show. So been a lot of great wrestling this weekend. Like I said, I didn't go to the Hall of Fame, but I heard it was one of the best Halls of Fame in years. The Ric Flair induction of the Horsemen went an hour. And Ric Flair talked about how much he wants to be back in WWE, and they didn't mention TNA at all, which was kind of supposed to be part of the deal for TNA to give Ric Flair to WWE for the evening, so that was interesting. But overall, a great weekend of pro wrestling. If you ever have a chance to come out for Mania weekend, you really should come out. Mania is always awesome live. And the other shows as well. You got Ring of Honor, you've got Dragon Gate. There was a $5 wrestling last night. There was, what else was there? Wrestle Reunion. I mean, there's a million different things you can go to, so it's always a lot of fun. So if you get a chance to head out there, come on out. And I know Semper Vivi is planning to go to New Jersey next year. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Well,
absolutely.
Good.
And, you know, I do need to go, obviously. And again, not only for WrestleMania and the whole spectacle and how over the top it is, but for all that other stuff that you mentioned, too, with question and answer sessions and autographs and you know, meetings and all that sort of stuff. I mean, that's, as a wrestling fan, that's incredible. And, you know, you talk about Dragon Gate there. I can, if you're a regular hardcore wrestling fan, it is relatively easy to get into Dragon Gate because they're able to, you know, with the lack of stables and things like that, it is easy to get into because they do give you an idea. But if you're not a hardcore regular wrestling fan, it is kind of tough to get into. Now, with that said, when it comes to the iPay-per-views, there's Ring of Honor's has had, you know, problems in the past as it is ever since the Sinclair deal, which is absolutely bizarre. It has gotten even worse, and that's something they're really, really going to need to fix because they have had nonstop problems. And for, relatively long shows with intermissions and it's, again, with their struggles right now, it's a bad thing, because as great as those matches are, a lot of people are going to be saying, why do I want to spend, you know, $14.95 to watch a show I'm never going to be able to see because they'll be all choppy or having issues? So that's where Dragon Gate does have a large, large advantage over them.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's ever going to be a ROH show on Go Fight Live again. I have not been told that from anybody in ROH, but that was sort of the impression I got from certain people. I mean, to me, it's like both shows were disasters, and so the only way to ever convince people to buy again is to say we're no longer going through that provider. We've got a brand new provider. Give us a try. We'll do a $1.99 show to make up for it and show you how good this is. I mean, that's pretty much the only thing you can do, because the feed was just – one day is one thing. 2 days in a row, it's like you've really damaged the future of that aspect of getting to see the show.
And that's too damn bad, too, if that even slightly overshadows the Michael Elgin match, because, you know, they've taken a lot of hits. You know, every time they have a little bit of success, you know, getting a TV deal or something like that, they lose guys. First time around, it was Nigel McGuinness and Daniel Bryan. And it's happened a couple times, and now they're trying to build up guys like Adam Cole. They're trying to build up guys like Mike Bennett and Michael Elgin. And here's the what was, from all reports, a star-making performance for him. And unfortunately, it'll be overshadowed by some because of the issues that they had.
Now, I want to make sure to mention very quickly that I'm going to attempt to be tweeting live from the show. At Brian Alvarez is the place to go for that, at Brian Alvarez. And, of course, Semper Vivi is at Semper Vivi. Not sure it's going to work. I was told by people that go to a lot of different sporting events that if you've got AT&T, if you're right in the middle of the stadium, there's no chance you're getting texts out. So I'm going to do my best. So follow me at Brian Alvarez. Dave Meltzer is also going to be doing live play-by-play on the front page at WrestlingObserver.com. So you can head up there and check that out during the show. Hopefully the website doesn't crash, but I'm sure it will, since it does for every major show. But we'll do our best. And then later on this evening, Dave and I are going to be up with a brand new radio show talking all of the news from the weekend. We're going to completely run down WrestleMania. We'll talk about all the matches, all of the angles. We'll talk about Raw tomorrow. We just did a show earlier this afternoon. It's up at WrestlingObserver.com for subscribers right now, so you can go up there and check that out. And mentioned many times, if you've ever considered signing up, it's only $10.99 per month, and this is the best time of year to do it. There's a million shows. We're going to be doing more of them here from Miami as well over the course of the next day or so, and then I'll be back in studio on Monday night with a brand new show after Raw. But not only do you get all the new shows, but you get every show that we have ever done in our archive. There's tens of thousands of hours of audio. So head up there, WrestlingObserver.com, sign up, get full coverage tonight on a brand new exclusive radio show, and should be a good time. So anyway, Mike, we got more matches to cover here. Randy Orton versus Kane, what are you predicting?
Randy Orton. Just for very simply, why else does Kane win? And I know a lot of people have looked at DiBiase and Cody Rhodes should have been a far better feud, but it seems to be sometimes Orton gets the short end of the stick sometimes when it comes to WrestleMania matches. But for what this is, I think he it's not going to be epic or anything like that, but it's going to be a really good match to fill the card, and they need those with all the star power that they have. Not everybody can hit a home run, and it'll be passable enough, and Randy Orton wins just because what else would you do?
I may be totally wrong, but I would guess that aside from the women's match, Randy Orton and Kane will have less interest than anything else on the card. It's just a match that really has nothing behind it, you know? Like, every other match on this show has got, like, a lot of storytelling behind it and a lot of different angles, and this is just, like, it's got nothing. It had a Randy Orton interview on Raw a couple of weeks ago that totally sucked, and coming off a horrible Kane versus John Cena feud, so I don't have high hopes for this one.
No, and again, it is every bit the placeholder for both of those guys for what you just had mentioned there. So, if Randy Orton goes into some sort of funk or he's not utilized to the best of his potential after this, then there's a problem. But realistically, I can see Randy Orton. Obviously, we're going into the Raw SmackDown trades and draft and all that sort of stuff. And again, this is going to be what it is, and Randy Orton wins, and then obviously we'll probably move on to bigger and better things.
We've got Team Teddy versus Team Johnny. Team Teddy is Santino, Truth, Kofi Kingston, Zack Ryder, Great Khali, and Booker T. And Team Johnny is David Otunga, Mark Henry, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, The Miz, and Drew McIntyre. Christian was removed from this match after he was not recovered from an ankle injury. And Alberto Del Rio was removed because, quite frankly, Vince didn't want Alberto Del Rio in a multi-man, 12-man tag with a bunch of geeks. And he's got big plans for Alberto. A couple of days ago on the show, I mentioned that Alberto Del Rio had done a one-minute Ronda Rousey armbar, and people were so appalled that I called it a Ronda Rousey armbar because they're all, you know, MMA pro wrestling, they hate the mix, blah, 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 why do you have to call it that? But here's the deal. That Ronda Rousey fight, I got texts all night long. Everybody in WWE was watching that fight. And when the fight was over, I was specifically texted by somebody and told that they've already decided that when Alberto Del Rio comes back, he's going to be doing the Ronda Rousey armbar gimmick. So I'm not just making this up because I talk about MMA and pro wrestling. That was straight from WWE. Ronda Rousey armbar gimmick. So that seems to be what they're going to be doing with him when he comes back. I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know if he'll necessarily be coming back and beating everybody in a minute. But they're going to play up the armbar big. And he's not in this match, however. And if you had to make a prediction, who's winning? Team Teddy or Team Johnny?
Oh, it's going to be Team Johnny because, again, you know, if you're going to run both brands, who's the guy I would assume that they're going to want out there? It's going to be, you know, Team Johnny on both sides of the fence. And, you know, it's kind of sad. In fact, it's very sad when you mention that Vince told Alberto or didn't tell Alberto, in this those terms. Well, maybe he did. Who knows? But he didn't want him in there with a bunch of geeks. These are a bunch of guys who should be, you know, in a far better position than they are. Mark Henry, Dolph Ziggler, didn't The Miz, you know, actually made event last year's WrestleMania?
That's
Drew McIntyre,
what I've heard.
Jack Swagger. That's a scary situation. And again, if they decide to roll back and then throw the armor behind Alberto Del Rio, which I'm all for, that's great. But if they do it and they do what they did last year, which is a lot of stop-start, and do what they've done with almost all of these guys. In fact, they have done with all of these guys where they do get up to a certain point, and for whatever reason, they just can't go too over the top with them. You know, and that includes CM Punk, that includes everybody that's not John Cena and Randy Orton, then it's all going to be for naught anyway. So I hope, you know, Alberto Del Rio gets a huge reaction no matter where he is, and he has been a great heel, and he's been far better than I ever thought he'd be there. I really do hope that they do something with him, even if it begins tonight when he goes out there and uses that arm bar and runs in at the end or something like that to hurt him, to give, you know, Team Johnny the win, which is a way you can get him into, you know, something major right away, because he's got the backing of Vince and Johnny.
Well, at least all these guys are on the show. This was supposed to be the Money in the Bank match, but they took that off WrestleMania. And last I heard, there's going to be a Money in the Bank pay-per-view in July. They talked about maybe making that the big spectacle of SummerSlam every year, but apparently that's not where they're going this week. But all I know is no Money in the Bank here tonight, obviously, and these guys all get a payoff. I'm actually kind of thinking that Team Teddy might win. Just the old happy ending. Bunch of, you know, the basically oddities, I guess they called it. So,
I believe that. Hey, with Santino doing it, that place would go nuts for it. Everybody,
sure.
The hardcore fans would get angry about it, but for every mainstream fan that's there, and there are tons of them, to have Jack Swagger eat a faceful of the Cobra in the highlights package that they send out to these groups, it probably wouldn't hurt their feelings at all.
I hate to do it with Dolph Ziggler because he's got so much upside, but if Santino gave Dolph Ziggler the Cobra, Dolph Ziggler would take the best bump of his entire life for it, and that would be a moment you could replay forever. So
that's a scary situation with him, too, because he is so good at bouncing around. He is like a human Super Bowl. He proved it in the Elimination Chamber, and he's so good at so many things that they're going to, I swear, I haven't, they seem like they take him for granted, and I don't understand why, but God, I hope it's not him.
All right, quick prediction. You got 30 seconds. Kelly and Maria Menounos versus Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres. Who's winning?
Kelly and Maria, I think they actually bring somebody in because Maria broke her ribs and can't really go. She'll get the pin somehow, but somebody else does the dirty work.
Well, that would be Kelly.
Well, like I said, I think they'll bring in somebody else because the only dirty work Kelly does is just, well,
hit the ropes?
I don't know.
All right.
Exactly.
We'll be back in just a moment, everybody, with the final segment here on the show. Wrestling Observer Live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Mania Weekend. We'll be right back. We are back here with the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are live here in Fort Lauderdale, the lobby of the Sheraton Hotel, getting ready for the biggest show in the history of the universe, quite frankly. And that is no joke. This will be the biggest money show of all time. Spent the last hour running down the card for the show. It airs on pay-per-view, 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific. 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And, of course, a free preview match on Facebook or WWE.com or something like that is a tag title match. You can go over there and check that out. But, Mike, any final thoughts on the show here today? What do you think? Is this going to be the big one?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be huge. It's going to get great coverage everywhere. Again, you know, timing-wise, this could not be any better when it comes to all the other canvas-matted ring sport activity out there. And in sports in general right now, Menounos is good. I'm sure they're going to have some surprises and things like that. But, yeah, it's the epic spectacle. It's going to do a million buys. It's going to go great. Raw tomorrow night is probably going to be must-see and awesome, and hopefully that gets a good rating. I think last year was a little bit sketchy after Mania, so we'll see what happens there with the rating, and I guess we shall see, and I think you and everybody else who's a member of the Empire is going to have themselves a fine evening, if not a slightly wet one with this weather.
That was the worst final question I've ever asked on this show, but it was worth it to hear you say canvas-matted ring-roped activity, I believe is the term that you used. I feel that I got that out of you. Yes, right now I'm looking out the window here, and it is clear blue skies, so we're all crossing our fingers that it stays that way. It is an outdoor show, obviously, but quite frankly, I don't care if it rains on me as long as it's 85 degrees, which it is out there right now. So anyway, everybody, we're going to wrap it up here for today. But don't forget, later on this evening, Dave Meltzer and myself are going to be up at WrestlingObserver.com with a post-event radio show running down all of the matches on the program. We'll talk about all of the angles, the big debuts, if there are any, and everything leading to Raw on Monday night. And, of course, you can follow along with the show at WrestlingObserver.com as well, provided the website stays up. That is WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer live running play-by-play. And we got a bunch of stuff up there from the weekend as well. Tonight we'll be talking about the ROH and Dragon Gate shows and pretty much everything else. It's going to be an awesome evening tonight, so check back here later on. We'll talk to you again after a while, and we'll talk to you next week. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.